Well, hello there, and welcome to Currently in South Africa on True Crime Bones with me, your host, Marissa Bones. So this is the 9th episode in the Currently in South Africa segment where I focus on crime-related events happening and unfolding as we speak in South Africa in like a quick story format, giving you the headlines, the idea of what's going on. This is me trying to bring, you know, awareness to these cases, as well as just share what it's like living in South Africa. Give you guys an idea of what life's really like, you know? Now, with that being said, the time of me recording this episode, that will consist of the following two stories. First being, man hands himself over for killing ex-girlfriend's lover. And number two being, vigilante justice. It's recorded on Monday evening, April 4th, 2021. So, with that being said, let's get into it. Our first story. But before I get into it, for those my not South African listeners, just to give you an idea, because the story we're going to cover now, small towns. South Africa has a bunch of small towns and cities, you know, just like other country. We also have farming communities. If a farm is big enough, you know, there's a lot of people working there, living there. It comes its own community. It has a school, tuck shops, but you still need to get your basics at the town or city closest. But it has its own community as well. So when I do mention a farm's name, just know it's like the closest to the smallest town, which have a police station and so on and so forth. So with that said, let's get into it. 53-year-old Jonas Machane handed himself over to police on Tuesday, the 30th of March, for killing his ex-girlfriend's lover and burying him in a shallow grave. Now, the girlfriend's name has not been made public, and I doubt it will, but we do have the victim, and then, I don't know, suspect, but we know he's the murderer. We have their names. So, Johannes Rabitsile Machana, also known as Rambo. Yes, his nickname is Rambo, definitely ill-fitting. Handed himself over to the police just days after his ex-girlfriend's boyfriend, 49-year-old Dan Moleko Radebe, had been reported missing and later found dead. Now, according to police spokesperson, it's believed that Radebe was seen by residents of Buffelsvlei Farm just outside Ventersdorp around 11 a.m. At the time, he was on his way to the farm but never arrived. They also confirmed that they received information that the last person seen leaving the farm on that very day, around the same time that Radebe was seen, was Machane. So, small farming community is Buffelsvlei Farm, and on his way that day to the farm, I mean, area around, everyone can see, was the victim, Radebe. He's on his way to the farm, but he never made it, according to witnesses and people from Buffelsvlei Farm. But what we know is he was last seen with the suspect, murder suspect, Machane. Now, the police spokesperson also went on to say, and I quote, "The mysterious disappearance of Radebe led his girlfriend to go and report him as a missing person at Venterstorp police station." So Venterstorp's like the closest to that area. Moreover, it is believed that early on that morning of Sunday, March 28th, Machane was seen coming from the direction of the wheat fields, holding a spade. A search for Radebe was initiated, and on Tuesday, March the 30th, the lifeless body of Radebe was found in a shallow grave in the wheat fields, not far from farm workers' houses. The deceased had visible facial injuries and head injuries. The body was not in a very bad state of decomposition, but had started to swell. The real cause of death will be determined next week by the postmortem. End quote. Now, they also said that they later found that Machana had left, you know, the small area, the farming community, to go to Klerksdorp, so a town nearby. And that was the day before the body was discovered of Radebe. So it was on the 29th of March, which he fled. That's when they started searching for him, and word got out that he was wanted, and he, I don't know how it reached him, but at that time, on the 30th, he was in Klerksdorp already, as he left the day before his ex-boyfriend's body was found. He went straight to Klerksdorp police station and he handed himself in. And he said, I don't know why. I mean, it's a good thing. Don't get me wrong, but there's not a lot of information as to why he did that. Maybe it hanged on his conscience. No, but either way, happy about it. He was, when he arrived, he was detained and eventually transported back to Venterstorp. There he was charged with murder and defeating the ends of justice. He also appeared briefly before the Venterstorp Magistrate Court on Thursday, the 1st of April, and will remain in custody until his next appearance, which will be on the 7th of April, where he will be going for a formal bail application. So, that was our first story. Up next, the second. For our second and final story, vigilante justice is rearing its ugly head again in different townships around Cape Town, with several deaths blamed on the kangaroo courts, which community leaders have blamed for a loss of faith in the criminal justice system. Now, for my continued listeners, knows my previous episode of Currently in South Africa, I got a little bit into mob justice. What happens here in South Africa, and what mob justice entails. So, with this story, I'm just going to get a little bit deeper into what's happening regarding mob justice this week. Well, last week, as this is a Monday in South Africa. So, last week, 4 people were killed during mob justice attacks in the city. Now, this is just in Cape Town, South Africa. Among them, an unidentified man whose body was discovered burned beyond recognition and dumped inside the garden of a local primary school in Browns Farm, Philippi. The case, which has since been registered by the police for further investigation, mimics another incident that occurred in Ravensmead. Now, according to the community of Philippi Hanover Park CPF chairperson Abraham, The body of a woman was found burned near a local primary school in the area earlier this week. So, two burned bodies, male and female, both near schools. It's horrible. Now, Ibrahim said he believed that the case was related to mob justice attacks that have begun to occur more frequently in several of the communities across Cape Town. He said, and I quote, "This is the result of miscommunication between law enforcement agencies and people. People are tired of crime operations that continuously miss the mark when they are there to assist. People are frustrated and fed up with being taken advantage of. And while I do not condone their actions, it's clear why they have decided to mete out their brand of justice. The unfortunate thing is that if no interventions are put in place, soon this will boil over into a catastrophic mess." End quote. Now, last week, members of the public were left shaken after a video of two men being beaten by a group of angry residents went viral on social media. I will not be sharing this or linking towards this video. Again, spreading of like that type, I would say, violence. I do report on it. I share it with you guys, but comes to videos like that, I'm sorry. It just doesn't feel right for me. I mean, if you want to Google, I'm pretty sure you can find it, but I'm not gonna add it. Now, the video, which was recorded in Delft, all these are small parts in Cape Town, saw residents brutally assault a duo alleged to be thieves as police stood by and watched. You know, just like I said in a previous episode, please can't do much, you know, it's, the whole community comes together. It's like, who are they going to arrest? But the police, just standing and watching, that is wrong of them. Come on. So, this is while the police stood and watched. One of the victims of the two unfortunately died shortly after the incident. See, that's just why I don't share these things. Now, residents, the Community Safety MEC, have condemned the attack and called the residents to utilize state institutions where they suspect or have evidence of criminal activity. But I mean, with that, how do they expect people to utilize the police, the systems that was put in place, when, I mean, in the previous, just now, talked about the two victims were attacked while the police just stood by. Ain't that utilizing the police? Isn't, make that make sense, you know? So, it's like, I think they just stayed there just to make themselves feel better. Because, I mean, 2 weeks ago, on March the 15th, two residents from Ikanini Khayelitsha were brutally assaulted by members of the public for allegedly stealing a cell phone. One of the victims of the attack died from injuries he sustained, while the other victim survived the attack. Now, Khayelitsha's chairperson, Findile George, said while he understands the reason why residents of the community or resorting to mob justice, the forum could in no way condone the criminal acts. He said, and I quote, "Rather than condone or say we understand why people are resorting to committing crimes in the form of assaulting persons they suspect to be criminals, we are urging residents to work with us to alleviate the levels of crime in our communities. We would rather have people join neighborhood watches and other crime prevention initiatives and actively work to rid our streets of criminals legally than to have our residents participate in crimes." End quote. Now, speaking on the resurgence of vigilante justice in the Cape communities, Dr. Guy Lamb at Stellenbosch University, Department of Political Science, said that while it may seem as the attacks had once again flared up, the truth was they never stopped, but were just less publicized, which is so true. He said, and I quote, "As a history point, vigilantism has always been with us. It's not necessarily flaring up now. It happens fairly regularly in disadvantaged and impoverished communities. We see it often in poor communities where groups such as taxi associations, street watchers, neighborhood communities, and other types of community groups that are willing to perpetrate vigilante justice. These groups see the value in perpetrating vigilante justice. There is also a sense of meting out instantaneous punishment because the South African criminal justice system does not. And also the visibility of the punishment is not necessarily there. People living in high crime areas are also very aware that conviction rates are particularly low for violent crimes, especially in communities where violent crimes are rife. Unfortunately, this is a continuing issue in South Africa, and if we want to reduce these incidents, we could use some of the recommendations of in the Khayelitsha Commission of Inquiry because those are still valid today." End quote. Now, he ain't wrong. Like I spoke in the previous episode, we don't always get justice. Now, I don't say, yes, vigilante mob justice is right. I don't condone any violence or anything. Train says, what happens here is so many cases, so many stories go unheard. And again, when it's gang violence, people just stay away because no vigilante, you'll get murdered straight up. But yeah, murder has become such a part of life. Stealing, robbery, anything that crime related events, especially in certain areas. Police don't come. If they do, nothing happens. You know, people get fed up. So what they call with the kangaroo court, it's, I'm going to use again a example. I'm going to use, this is example name, Kwesi. Kwesi has been accused of stealing a handbag. It's going to go low. Now the community comes together, they all think, okay, Kwesi stole a handbag. If it's true or not, either way. So the community decide, like, that's how the whole, you know, kangaroo court situation. Okay, for the handbag stealing, Kwesi will be beaten by the community members for 1 minute. If he survives, he dies. So he gets beaten for a minute. After that, someone in the community phones the police. In some cases, the police are there. They don't arrest everyone because everyone got together. They can't say who did it. And a lot of people get it. Getting away arrested, even normally. So that was his punishment, that 1 minute. Of course, he died, fortunate, but they move on. That's how mob justice, kangaroo court work. If he survives, then according to, you know, the kangaroo court, again, mob justice, he's technically served his time. It's done and dusted, you know, you can go on. So, because not a lot of action is taken, like this doctor said, it's quote, people have resorted to it because there's no other. You feel, again, I'm saying you feel like, I've never partook in mob justice, but I am at a point where you just, what even is the point? Because crime, You know, I do report on cases that the person, the men are, or women are convicted. Which, yes, that's great news. But if you guys only know how many murder cases a day where nothing, no one, and will go un. Oh, I'm rambling. I'm sorry. But yeah, this was a quick, well, not that quick. Currently in South Africa, it's a bit of a odd one. I'm all over the place. Try recording so many times, but so much I feel like I want to say, but at the same time, you know. That's it. If you're still listening, thank you so much for listening. And remember, crime never sleeps in South Africa. Stay safe.